You are about to experience Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting. Fortunately, you are about to hear lots of opinions, but rarely any facts. Impersonations might occur, but good luck trying to figure them out. This program is not intended for kids or the easily offended. Listener discretion is advised. You have been warned. You press play. It's too late to stop. Get ready to podcast.
Welcome to another edition of Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting. DJ Impact with Rob Pasolari, City Steve. And welcome to Three Count. We got three good topics for you tonight. And if you happen to be watching us live, do us a favor and throw those comments anywhere in the chat box. And we're on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitch. We did start a little bit earlier than usual on today. We'll probably get back to our regular time next week. But, you know, we had to switch it up a little bit because, you know, we got lives outside of the podcast, I guess one could say. So there's that. So we got our three count good topics, and let's just get right with it.
It's time.
Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting present.
One, two, three.
Count talk.
Count talk, baby.
All right, here is count one. Oh, yeah. Tony Khan. WWE is like Harvey Weinstein of pro wrestling. If figure four, did I do a good job there, Rob, or did I?
I was actually sighing because he's a fucking idiot.
All right, let me just read off what it says, and we'll get right into it. It said that during a Friday appearance on the NFL Network, Tony Khan took a shot at WWE by calling it the Harvey Weinstein of pro wrestling. Khan has received media attention after appearing in a neck brace during the first round of the NFL draft. He was selling the effects of an attack that took place on AEW Dynamite this Wednesday. The main event angle of the episode saw Khan laid out by a punch from Jack Perry and a spike tombstone power driver from the Young Bucks. Now, the opening round of the NFL draft then took place one night later, and Khan, whose family owns the Jacksonville Jaguars, was in the team's war room wearing his neck brace.
Kayfabe, baby.
Yeah. Khan kept kayfabe while discussing the, quote, injury, end quote, on the NFL Network. He also spoke about the AEW's competition with, quote, really evil juggernaut, end quote, WWE. And, he went into this whole ramp. He says, AEW, we've been doing this for 5 years. We are the most successful sports startup since the AFL, which is the American Football League, pre-merger with the NFL. And there has not been a challenger brand that has gained as much market share as AEW in many, many, many years. We're like the Pepsi of pro wrestling, and we're up against a really evil juggernaut. WWE is our competitor. That's who we're facing. AEW is like the Pepsi of pro wrestling, and WWE is like the Harvey Weinstein of pro wrestling, and I'm really proud of what we do down here. Which, by the way, when you look at that segment, I like how the NFL guys was like, oh, wait, okay, I guess that's the end of this. Time for commercial break, as they should. Anyway, let me finish just right quick. The comparison to disgraced Hollywood producer and accused sexual predator Harvey Weinstein comes amid the sexual abuse allegations Vince McMahon is facing in a lawsuit that former WWE employee Janelle Grant filed earlier this year. McMahon, WWE, and John Laurinaitis are listed as defendants in the suit. And, of course, McMahon resigned from WWE and his parents' company, TKO Group Holdings, after Grant's lawsuit was filed. And earlier this week, he responded to Grant's allegations in a court filing. So, yeah, guys, Tony Khan, WWE is like Harvey Weinstein. Oof. Go ahead.
Doesn't even make sense. You're saying we're Pepsi and you're Harvey Weinstein. How does that even line up? We're Pepsi and you're Coke.
Here's the thing is he couldn't liken WWE to Coke because everybody knows how much he loves Coke, so he can't do that.
I see what you did there. A little bit of the old Matt Michaels. Look, he's a fucking idiot. And here's the reason. They're an underdog company, sure. They're a mid-level wrestling company, and there was no mid-level wrestling company. TNA was never that much, never got to as big a place that AEW has. I think we can agree that TNA, I think I saw them do a show in England once where they filled up like a 10,000-seat arena somewhere in London. And I was like, all right, that's good for them. But it's never going to be as big as AEW. And AEW at present will never be as big as WWE. And he should know this. He needs to stop fucking around with that and worry about making his product better, which in many ways he is. We're talking about the improved storylines. We're talking about character development. Good things are happening. However, now you go and you say over the top salacious crap about WWE. You do that thing where you show this Jack Perry video, which really has nothing to do with building Jack Perry. It was to poke, you know, to poke at CM Punk. And it makes you look petty, but it also makes you look amateurish. You come across as if you're a 12-year-old on social media for the first time trying to talk shit. Like, you have to understand, and I'm not saying it to you guys, you know, but to everyone who watches this, and we're on an off hour than we normally would be, or you're going to see it later on, WWE spends a lot of money having people tell them when not to say something or when to say something. It's called a freaking media team. It's called a social media team. There are people who go to
PR department.
Yeah, PR department. He is not utilizing the vast wealth of Shahid Khan that he has. He needs to go, hey, wait a minute. I don't know how to present myself well. I've never done this before. My dad doesn't present himself. Think about it. When have you seen his father talk about? You see Robert Kraft talk about his team. When did you see Mr. Khan talk about the Jaguars ever? So that's not something that was a strong suit in their family. And I would go, and I'm an arrogant person, and I played Donald Trump on stage, so the arrogance is there. But I would go, you know what? I don't know what I'm doing. And I'm going to now be the face of this company because I had Cody Reynolds do it. He was the face of my company. He was the one who put the shine on it. And once in a while, I'd make an appearance. Now he's doing dumb, she's saying really over-the-top offensive stuff that fans, I don't want to know about women getting assaulted on any program. I don't want to hear it. So why would you reference it again? And also, you come out with the neck collar. You liken yourself to Harvey Weinstein. Because what did Harvey Weinstein do as soon as he got arrested? Oh, son of a bitch came out. Oh, I'm sick and I'm dying now. I'm an old man. He comes out with the walker. I'm guaranteeing you that guy could do backflips in his house when no one's watching him. So you make yourself look like more like Harvey Weinstein because you're doing your kayfabe thing, but think about the audience you're addressing. You're addressing an audience. They don't know what kayfabe is. If you're addressing a general purpose sports audience, ESPN or whatever, and they're not steeped in the wrestling culture, here you are, a guy that nobody knows outside of pro wrestling, and maybe, you know, not even within pro wrestling if you're only a WWE fan, and this guy comes on the stage. He's his dad's son. The son of the Jacksonville Jaguars guy is saying that Vince is alluding. Vince McMahon is a rapist, and all of WWE guys are rapists, and they're this, that, and the other. This is your first taste of the Khan family, and that's the clown you put out there wearing a neck brace without any context?
Yeah, I tell you. Let me jump over to you, Steve. I mean... It's first off, it's great to see that you have these reputable sports industries, the ESPN, NFL Network, you know, that says, hey, let's interview people in pro wrestling. Because at time it was looked at as they would never be on such platforms ever, yeah. Right? They put you on, and of course they'll put Tony on because again, he's connected with the Jaguars or whatever the case may be. But then you come over and you say a comment like this, and I would think that NFL Network's like, you know, this is probably not something we're going to do again because that's not what we're trying to do here. You know what I'm saying? When you want to go to that extreme, what was your take when you saw this or heard this came about, and you know, your thoughts?
So I am going to differ from what Rob said initially with part of what he said.
Okay.
I have no problem with him continuing to sell the neck injury and being in the Jaguars war room wearing a neck brace. To be honest, I laughed my ass off when I saw that shit, because it hasn't been since, you know, people were likening it to Andy Kaufman back in the day.
Okay.
The fact is, people talked about Tony Khan wearing the neck brace, just being in the war room. And then we got his comments the next day. So the timeline was a little bit off on this. The Friday, which was the first day of the draft, he was actually in the war room. NFL Network was not interviewing him. Saturday, which was day two of the draft, was actually the day in which they did interview him. And the fact is, everything was going fine with the first part of his comment. You know, mentioning that they are the most successful sports startup since the AFL. There hasn't been a challenger brand since, you know, that's gained as much market share as AEW in many years. And then he made the comment about Harvey Weinstein. And I was watching it on my phone, and I literally cringed. And I was like, oh shit, here we go again. More of this shit. Because we've talked about it. When was it? 3 weeks ago now. Adam Copeland came out, and he said that there was a lot of negativity surrounding AEW. He cut a promo saying how we needed to turn the page and move on, and not focus on tribalism and, you know, all of the bullshit. And then you've got your owner and founder of your company feeding into it and inciting the tribalism on the NFL Network, which, as you mentioned, Impact, is a mainstream sports outlet.
Yeah.
It really is an embarrassment, to be 100% real and 100% honest. I was embarrassed when I saw that shit, because, you know, yes, I love everything that AEW does in terms of they are a viable alternative. They do present themselves in a much different way than WWE does. The problem that I have is that they are continuing to compare themselves and to speak about WWE in a negative light. They are the company that everybody knows about with professional wrestling. You don't have to talk about WWE. Everybody knows what's going on with them. Even the lawsuit stuff. People are always going to equate Vince McMahon with WWE, regardless of whether he's been ousted or not. And I know that that might be a hard pill for some WWE fans to swallow, but until the day he's dead and beyond, Vince McMahon will forever be synonymous with WWE. All of the nefarious shit that's coming out about Vince and all of the stuff that he did, he will be linked to WWE. So why do you, as an owner and a promoter of a rival promotion, why do you even bring that up? You could easily, very easily, make your point by saying, you know, we are like the Pepsi of pro wrestling. We're going up against a well-established brand that's been around for 50 plus years, and we're trying to make our own niche in the market.
I call them the RC Cola.
Whatever you choose, it's stupid. It's absolutely stupid. Because realistically, you took what was a pretty decent media appearance. Yes, they asked questions about the angle with him taking the Tony Khan driver. Right. Which announcers thought was pretty funny that he took the move in which was named after him. And they even showed clips of him taking the move from Dynamite on the NFL Network. That was great. That was absolutely great. I was completely good with that. And then he had to go out and throw out the WWE's like Harvey Weinstein of pro wrestling. And it's like, come on, man. Why?
Yeah.
Why?
Because you can put yourself over. To make him He thinks that is putting himself over. Perception for people is different from one person to the next. And without anyone to rein in his impulses, somebody probably told him to be a Paul Heyman type or to do something over the top, and that would make him famous. But that's really bad, because you don't want to hear about Harvey Weinstein or anyone.
No, not at all. Not at all. It's not offensive. When you're watching the fucking NFL draft. Not when you're watching the NFL draft.
It's and you know what it is, for all intents and purposes, it's family television.
Yeah. It's completely unrelated.
Yeah.
And the thing is, yes, you do alienate your fan base, and ultimately it's mind-blowing that these things continue to happen. I really do hope that they use this incident of Tony Khan getting tombstoned on TV to keep him off TV. I genuinely hope that they establish somebody as a general manager. Fucking get Chris Hero to do it. He's literally backstage. He's got name value with your core audience. They know who Chris Hero is. Use him as an on-air GM or whatever you want to call him. That would be one of the smartest things that you could do. And if not Chris Hero, if he doesn't want to do that, then you could do it with any number of people that are in the back. Right. But the fact is, Tony Khan does need to take a step back from being on his programming. But I do have to give one shout out to Shad Khan for coming out at the end of Dynamite, because he was pissed. I don't know if they smartened him up when he was coming through that tunnel.
Yeah.
He looked legitimately pissed off that his son got laid out in the ring. He had that evil villain handlebar mustache. You know, yeah. that was working. He had he was furious.
Yeah.
I was
Maybe, do you think they didn't tell him, or is he that good of an actor?
That's what I'm saying. I don't think they smartened him up. I think that they just said, oh shit, everybody bail out of the back. Tony's laid out. And because he was, if you saw the look on his face on Dynamite. Well,
he grabbed the way he clutches his son's head. It really sold it. Everything looked goofy until he's clutching his kid's head, and he looks like he's shaking him like, oh Christ, for a split second there, that was smart. That was smart. Exactly.
That was all good. I was good with absolutely everything until the closing seconds of that fucking interview on NFL Network, man.
Yeah.
Why? Like, you have to step over the line. Yeah. And why?
Yeah, unnecessary.
He's an habitual line stepper over.
Let's go over into count two. Nick Nemeth defeats Alberto Del Rio to win the AAA Mixed Championship. El Patron. That's right, from CageSideSeats.com. All right, so pretty much it reads that Nick Nemeth has Alberto Del Rio's number inside the ring. He defeated Alberto to win the WWE World Championship in 2013, and he did it again to win the AAA Mega Championship at Triple Mania 32. Now, Nemeth and Alberto competed for the vacant, Mega Campiano. Is that close?
Campiano Mega
on Saturday night in Monterrey, Nuevo León, New Mexico, and it was a back and forth affair throughout. Except the first close call to a finish came when
Alberto Alpatron is a back and forth affair.
When Alberto boy applied, so the first close call to the finish came when Alberto applied an armbar, but Nemeth was able to grasp his hands together to prevent full extension until reaching the ropes with his foot for a break. And Alberto took the action up a notch by catching Nemeth for a power bomb onto a table. The wood didn't break, so Alberto added a flying leg drop, and Nemeth kicked out on the cover. Now, as the match progressed, Nemeth surprised Alberto with an armbar. El Patron powered up to escape via power bomb, and Alberto changed fourth and collided into a table in the corner. Nemeth pounced for the danger zone, the zigzag, and kicked out by Alberto. Nemeth tuned up the band for a super kick. Alberto blocked the counter for a backbreaker, and the Pride of Mexico clothesline the foreigner over the ropes. That's when Nemeth reached into his bag of tricks. Alberto ran for a suicide dive, but Nemeth threw a beverage in his face, and Nemeth struck with a low blow, kicked and hit another danger zone for victory. And it said that this result is quite the surprise. Alberto was positioned as the favorite to prevail. Nemeth wasn't even on television to build towards this match. And now he owes the holds the AAA top prize. And this win makes Nemeth a double champion with the IWGP Global Heavyweight Champion from New Japan Pro Wrestling. That's pretty huge, Sin City. Did you watch this, or you just heard about the results and said, man, I got to figure out what the heck happened?
I saw the results, and I couldn't believe it either. I knew that he was wrestling in this match, but obviously, you know, we talked about Rebellion during wrestling talk. And yeah, we had Nick Nemeth in the main event against Moose, which he did lose. But if you look at it, he's in the main event scene in Impact TNA. He holds the AAA Mega Championship now, and he also holds the IWGP Global Championship, which was formerly known as the United States Championship. So it's essentially their second tier belt in the entire company for New Japan Pro Wrestling.
There's a question. Do you believe he's building his career back up to get back into WWE graces, or is he just saying, look, I've already done what I can in WWE being two-time champ. I just want to go get belts in other companies. I mean, what do you think?
I think he's getting himself over wherever he can to further his future, whatever that means, whether that's going back to, whether that's going back to WWE, whether that's going to AEW, whether that's inking a deal with TNA, or, you know, if he works elsewhere in Japan or Mexico, I think that he is proving that you don't have to, you know, be in WWE, and that you can go elsewhere. He's following the Cody Rhodes blueprint, quite frankly. He's doing exactly what Cody did. And even before him, I'll throw out another name who
I just hope not. I can't sit through two seasons of the Bloodline beating the shit out of him.
No, I actually think that the blueprint was created by Drew McIntyre.
I thought it was created by Matt Morgan.
Well, he was the blueprint. He didn't create it. But nonetheless, the first when Drew McIntyre was let go, when he was the chosen one, he instantly started back over, started working indies and reestablished his name. And eventually found himself in Impact Wrestling, and did quite well for himself all around the world, in shows from the UK to Mexico. I saw him wrestle at a couple of the WrestleCon Super shows surrounding Mania Weekend before he got called back to WWE. And he was doing fucking dance party matches, which, by the way, is some pretty crazy and funny shit.
Oh, I'm sure.
But yeah, dude, like, people, this is just another entry in the list saying that you can forge your own path. People like Matt Cardona has said that he is making as much money on the indies as what he did while he was in WWE. Now, obviously, he's injured right now with a torn pec. Hopefully he heals up. But yeah, you know, Nick Nemeth is following the blueprint, as I've mentioned. And more power to him, man. I genuinely hope for the best for this guy. Yeah. And hopefully he can cement himself as a main event player wherever he goes.
Rob, we when we hadn't seen Dolph anymore on WWE, as far as we thought that was just going to be a end of his career, I don't think a lot of us thought we were going to see him popping up anywhere, but we see him now. He's putting in that work. He's grabbing those championships. We even saw him last week. What's your thoughts on him, man?
Remember about 3 years ago in WWE, he was giving super kicks to AJ Styles. He was just running in on matches, but there was no cohesiveness to why he was doing it. Is he going to be a face? Is he going to be a heel? He comes out in much the same persona that he had in WWE. He shows up in a suit and tie, or he shows up doing this 80s rock crap with this Most Wanted Man thing, which, again, I don't like when you lead with a gimmick, but you don't follow through with it. So when he came out as the Most Wanted Man, and I'm like, okay. So are we just playing off the fact that he looks like an 80s freaking Roadhouse character? All right. Are we going to do something with that? If they made TNA, because they love vignettes, if they did a Roadhouse style thing where he's saving women or something really over the top and hokey, I would get behind that. I mean, who made Broken Matt Hardy? TNA. That was on, he wrote that, but it happened during TNA. Would there be a Broken Matt Hardy anywhere else? No. They don't have the time to develop a character to that degree. So he's being Dolph Ziggler without the name. Okay. He's got belts. Okay, but again, they're in other promotions that don't reach this country. Saying he's a AAA champion is like saying soccer matters here. It doesn't.
Damn.
You know, who gives a shit about the Galaxies or Beckham? But the Galaxies won. Who gives a fuck? Nobody's watching it. All right.
Hey, Messi is one of the best top soccer football players out there in the States and in the world. So don't say nothing about him. Thank you.
Who cares? You know, you got, he beat Alberto El Patron, Soraya's cuck. Okay, so we've got Nick Nemeth versus Sloppy Segundo. And you have this, I didn't even know where the hell Alberto El Patron was. I thought he really was deep in a bottle of El Patron because that's all he can afford right now is to sleep in a goddamn bottle. He's washed up. And then you tell me, but he was really doing good in South America or Mexico. Great. I don't give a shit. You know what? There's, 25 hours of wrestling a week?
I get that you say that, but you do know that, you know.
It's a great accomplishment to go somewhere else and be someone's champion in any promotion. Even from the local bingo hall, it's a great, great honor. But you're talking about two men who were WWE World Heavyweight Champions. So we always are grading these gentlemen on a curve and going, you know what? You've done well for yourself outside of the WWE. Good for you. You've got a belt. What does it say there? Triple A champion. It's in another language. Do you speak that language? Oh, you don't. So that's that company's, that promotion's opportunity to promote themselves off the back of Dolph. Yeah. Oh, we can't use that name. So now if I'm Googling the guy, I got to go deeper into the weeds to find out what he's doing. I like it. But let's be honest with ourselves. How many people really watch GCW, Triple A, Future Stars of Wrestling? How many people are watching that? And do any of us talk about these guys? Is even Michaels. Michaels is no fan of the indies. Okay. Michaels coughs up Vince McMahon's pubes. I mean, this is what we're talking about. So to say that you're a champion somewhere else is nice. It's a great accomplishment. And here's the thing. If they're paying you as much to be the champion over there as you are to be a mid-carder in WWE, that says something, though. That says something. It shows you how bloated the WWE roster is, where talent doesn't thrive. But it also says, really speaks to what we know about you as a fan a lot of us would like to think of ourselves as a fan of all these guys where we follow their career intimately. We don't. We follow their career when they reach our perspective. In other words, it's like Robot Chicken where they just throw items in front of us to watch. We're not looking for it. We're looking for somebody to throw it in our face and go, oh, by the way, while you're watching the NBA playoffs, here's an AEW commercial where they're going to mention these names. Oh, and then that's how people made fun of Jericho. Because remember, Jericho stopped wrestling or stopped working out during the pandemic. And when the NBA playoffs were preempting AEW and then people saw him and he was fat as hell. And they went, holy shit, that's Chris Jericho. He's gigantic. How did this happen? He's been wrestling all this time? I thought he was gone after the Book of Jericho. So that shows you, unless we're serving it to you, here you go. Here's Dolph Ziggler. People are going to see him in WWE three seasons from now, and they're going to go, you still got it. And he's going to go, what the fuck? How many times did we see Rob Van Dam come back to WWE and they're chanting, you still got it, when he was wrestling nonstop? When they put him in the Hall of Fame, he came out in his ring attire, and Michael Cole said, did anyone tell him he's not working anymore? He is, you asshole. He is working. He's just not working for you. Hey, he's coming in his ring attire.
So what I'm getting from you is that I guess in some way you're happy for Nick, but at the same time, does it really matter?
It doesn't matter. The only time we made it matter is when Kenny Omega came out with all of the belts and he was the belt collector. Then we cared because they did the old X-Men crossover where I got to read X-Men, X-Force, X-Factor, New Mutants to find out what the hell's going on. Smart. I got to go watch TNA now to find out how he got that belt, if he's going to defend it, who he's going to fight. Smart. Forbidden Door. Smart. Now I care. But if there's no connection, it's a guy just wrestling. Good for you. Good for you. Different, I don't care. It's not like Omega versus Jericho where I'm going to wait fucking 11 hours to go watch the match that they keep teasing for 11 goddamn hours from 11 at night to fucking 6 in the morning.
All right. Thank you for that. Let's get into our count number three. Oh, my God. Did he disappear?
He did a mic drop and just said, fuck this shit, I'm out. Jeez, man.
Yeah, man. There he goes. He just he just dropped the mic and said, I'm out. Peace.
At my computer.
Oh, man. All right. Well, we're on a
counter. What?
We're on count three here.
My computer's like Harvey Weinstein.
Oh, count three, WWE draft 2024 live results.
What about a hard drive?
Not anymore.
Stars began to be selected. This was at USA Today. It was just saying that it's time for WWE roster to be shaken up. The draft began as Raw and SmackDown and NXT rosters are set to change dramatically during the weekend, and nearly half of its picks of this year's draft were made Friday night before the rest of the selections take place on Monday. Not every star was eligible to be selected Friday, but there were still some big names that switched brands, and a few rising young stars saw themselves promoted to the main roster. All right. Just to mention a few, first overall pick, Bianca Belair to SmackDown. I was pretty shocked to see that. When you think about it, when you choose the very first one, you're almost saying this is a must have. You know what I'm saying? So I was like, all right, I guess I can see that. I mean, out of okay, all right, whatever, I'll take it. Jey Uso, I get that. Carmelo Hayes to SmackDown, I think that would be pretty interesting to see how that comes out. Seth Rollins stayed on Raw. Randy stayed on SmackDown. Braun Breaker to Raw, that should be interesting there to see where that goes. Nia Jax to SmackDown. Liv Morgan pretty much stays on Raw. LA Knight stays on SmackDown. Ricochet stays on Raw. The Bloodline. Now, this is what I thought was pretty interesting. Okay, so all of them come as a package? Well, I guess if you got to do what you got to do, that's fine. But you can, if you just wanted to, you could kind of make it, well, I don't know. I mean, they have a big roster, but you could have kind of presented it where, okay, one picks Solo, and because the next pick, he didn't go after Tama, well, then we'll pick up Tama too, right? So, but when you just say it's all one, then it's like, okay, I didn't know an entire action can be. Okay, all right. And then Sheamus, of course, is to Raw, which we got Sheamus old music, right?
Great to see. Oh, yeah. too many limes, man.
Oh, boy. Does his gut come with him?
Huh?
Do they leave his gut in SmackDown, or does it go?
Oh, jeez.
Oh, by the way, shout out to Drew McIntyre when he actually made him look horrible in that segment going, burgers, burgers, burgers. Yeah, if you watch Raw, you would get that. That was pretty.
It was supposed to be six-pack abs on the six-pack of beer.
It was pretty funny-ass segment there. Chad Gable to Raw, Andrade to SmackDown, and Kiana James to Raw. So that's up to the 16th pick. So, of course, Monday Night Raw's got picks. I'm assuming NXT is going to have some picks, and then there might be some picks that will be coming online. From what you've seen already, fellas, just from Friday's night, any shock, any
disappointment?
You're disappointed?
I'm disappointed because it's not a draft. You don't a draft is somebody new. Now you had Bron Breakker. He is practically new to the upper roster. Can we call it that? The upper roster. He's on the big time now. He featured on SmackDown for a few squash matches. Okay, so saying that he got drafted anywhere is good. That's new. Nia Jax, to my observation, was the only person of any name worth that moved from one brand to another. That's it. Everybody else stayed where they were. So I really don't give a shit. Because again, it wasn't a draft. It's you got to keep your job and you got to keep your job. And oh, your name is Trevor Lee again. Get the hell out of here. Go home. So,
well, I mean, I ultimately I get what you're saying. And but
there's no wow factor. They used to make it a wow factor. And also you have Bubba Ray Dudley in the blue team.
But at the same time, maybe this is just, I mean, this is, of course, your Fridays. Maybe Mondays, it'll be a lot different, you know, because you can't have, listen, you can't have the same exact roster and then claim it's a draft. It won't make any sense.
That's exactly what I'm saying. So, but then the other thing is.
But Friday, what makes the most, because in your very first, your top picks, and more than likely going to kind of stay maybe where they're at. More than likely. I can't see that being going forward from this point. Let's assume all this was done backwards. Okay. Let's say right here, Bianca to Raw. Well, okay. We've seen that. Jey Uso to SmackDown. Okay. I mean, I guess you could do that. Is that, you know, is he going to enlighten the Fox viewers? Let's see. Carmelo Hayes to Raw. You see Carmelo Hayes.
I'm not even approaching it that way.
What I'm saying is
don't bring it up at all. If you had no intention of changing them, and there is somebody that you're really going to wow audiences with,
yeah, but pulling the draft a brand has been new name for years, and it's always been the way that you have it now. It's going to change. Let me move over to Sin City. Sin City, what was your take on some of the? Oh boy. American Bam Bam showed up, everybody.
Raise your hand if you give a shit.
Yeah.
Anyway, realistically, the thing that stands out to me is, okay, so Bianca Belair and Jey Uso are the number one picks for each show. Okay. You mean to tell me that Jey Uso was drafted before Solo, Tama, and Heyman? As a unit. Okay, I guess. Now, obviously, as we found out, champions and people that were injured were not eligible to be drafted.
Right.
Okay. So that allows them to get around certain randomness. By
the way, was that a first? Because I don't remember that being in
the past. Yeah. This is that's a new rule. Gotcha. So, you know, previously in the past, we've had the terrible situations where they've changed the women's champions. And if you'll remember, they had the incident with Becky and Charlotte. They had to hand off the belts and all that bullshit. I'm cool with the champions being locked onto the brands. That's fine. Here's where I have a problem. And that is, if you're building a show, if you are objectively a general manager of a brand, why would you not start off by drafting the factions first? So drafting the Bloodline, drafting the LWO, drafting multi-person units, which only use one pick, yet you get multiple people. Like for instance, the Raw pick of Chad Gable, Otis, Akira Tozawa, and Maxine Dupree. You know, like even something to that effect, you know, drafting that, second to last pick of the night, only right before you draft somebody from NXT, which interesting name to bring up from NXT, by the way. I just hope that, you know, that everything works out with her on the main roster. Yeah. But I think that it's going to be interesting to see how things unfold with the future days of this draft. And I'd like for them to actually, you know, follow up on it, do something with this. Now, they did say that the rosters will lock. I believe it was May 6th was the day that the rosters would actually lock. So being as though Vince is nowhere in the scene anymore, that leads me to believe that these rosters actually will lock for a year, which, hey, if that happens, I will support it completely. And then also the thing that I'll say is keep in mind, if the rosters don't lock until May 6th, then that there's got to be some stuff that happens after the draft, right? Are there going to be trades? Are there going to be, you know, punishments for losing matches or something to that effect? Hey, you're going to be sent to SmackDown if you lose this match, blah, blah, blah.
Well, I've always wondered why they never done like a, not for everyone, but someone could be like an agent, like a free agent during somewhere a part of the year that can say, you know what? I now want to switch.
But they did that with Jey Uso.
Yeah. Well, Jimmy.
Jimmy, sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, but that's because he's injured. So he's not in the draft, but, so he's going to stick around on Raw, but keep in mind who else is coming to Raw. So I think that we might actually see a reuniting of the Usos at some point this year. That's what that leads me to believe, because those two guys are going to be on the same brand. And incidentally enough, they're spread apart from Solo and Tama.
Mm-hmm.
So Solo and Tama are going to be on SmackDown doing their thing. So that leads me to believe that with Jimmy staying on Raw and then Jey going to Raw, we're going to see some form of a, you know, an allegiance or, you know, a burying of the hatchet, because we all know where this is going with the two sides to the bloodline. And right. Evidently they're going to build it up across both shows, which with a storyline as in depth and as with as many layers as what the bloodline storyline has had, if you spread it across both shows, that's fine. Because you're going to get the user and the viewer response that you need to make that storyline gel, especially as we roll into Mania of next year.
Right. Which is amazing that, you know, the rumors of where Mania is going to be is, yeah.
Still nothing announced, though.
I know.
What are we thinking?
Here.
Right here, sir.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah,
guess where we're gonna be.
and a hot take is that they're actually gonna try to book either Raw or SmackDown at the Sphere, or maybe both.
Now, well, let's say they do Vegas. Between us, now, are we going to Legion?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, that's not
for the Mania. Mania will definitely be at Allegiant for sure.
And what are we talking on ticket prices, though?
Oh God,
it's
always extremely high. It's always extremely high.
You're gonna need to get yourself a second job there, Rob.
Hey, how much was one night? How much was the tickets for one night?
For where I sat, it was $5.95.
You know what? Honest to God, I don't mind that.
Yeah.
I don't mind that. I don't think that's unreasonable, to be honest.
Now, mind you, that's per night.
No, I understand. First night.
Or you could just be like DJ Impact and only go to the one night that matters.
Yeah, I know. I would make a watch wrestling joke about night one, but I actually pay for Peacock. So, which doesn't work on my damn TV. One of those don't work. I got something that caught my attention. The way they presented the draft, they showed a whole team of guys on both sides picking the people. And if you paid attention, they showed you the Dudleys on SmackDown in their war room. Are we going to see a use of these guys as managers? Because they're using the Dudleys. They're sprinkling them in now. I'm not saying heavily, but they are showing, you know, Bubba Ray now. Do we use him as a manager? Do we incorporate the Dudleys? Because freaking Devon wants to have another run somewhere, which Bully's been wrestling intermittently in the indies. Do we incorporate them as managers or as lieutenants for Nick Aldis? And then do we do the same thing all going up to Survivor Series?
Well, I guess that all depends on, you know, if that's something they're looking for and something Triple H seemed like it would make sense doing. You know,
I mean, I understand what they're doing. They're trying to make it look like the NFL draft. It's the same week as the NFL draft. They're trying to capture that feel, but you're leaving cards on the table if you don't utilize these people.
Well, it's going to be interesting next week when we do the podcast. What we'll do is maybe we'll make this three count again, just so we can now see what the final version of the draft is and see, do we kind of like how everything came about? And you know, and take a look. I mean, this was.
I want to hear Matt Michaels' take.
That's if Matt Michaels shows up. You know, you know. So
yeah, he's infected my fucking computer with his internet virus crashing disease.
But anyway, that's it, man. Let me just thank everybody for hanging out and with us. We started the podcast a little earlier tonight. We'll be back to our regular time next week, which is 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time for Wrestling Talk, 8:45 Pacific Standard Time for three count. And yeah, we are. We always appreciate you when you hang out with us. And that's that. So we'll give our final thoughts here for the weeks and we'll go from there. Sin City Steve, what you want to tell the good folks out there?
All right, y'all. Hey, thank you for hanging out with us tonight. Thank you for liking, sharing, subscribing, doing all the stuff that you guys do. We appreciate each and every one of you. Also, very special shout out and thank you to all the brave men and women serving this country, whether you're doing it on lands foreign or domestic. Thank you for doing what you do so that we can do what we love to do. And last but not least, repsports.com, REPPsports.com. Go there for all your pre-workout, weight loss, and general energy needs. Again, that's repsports.com. Use promo code Vegas at checkout and save yourself 15%.
All right, Rob, what you got going on this week?
Well, I wanted to say a special thanks to Michael Boris running for Congress out here in Nevada, who had me on his show today, a little Republican convention as Donald Trump at Carlin Martin's in Henderson. I'm going to be doing a swingers comedy show on the 10th of May. Details to be announced with the location.
Interesting.
It's going to be very interesting. It's going to be incredibly interesting. And you know what? Quite frankly, the greatest show you've ever seen since I won WrestleMania 1 and WrestleMania 3, where I took Andre the Giant and I threw him over my shoulders. Like it was nothing. It was nothing.
Like it was nothing. Oh, man. Good stuff. All right. All right. Well, yeah. Guys, follow at Boss Comedy and you'll get a chance to keep up where he would be in town. As he is building up that career, man. Before we know it, he's going to be having his own Netflix special. And when that happens, yeah. Rob, my hand's coming out. I'm going, hey, I need some money, bro. I need some money. That's all I'm saying.
Your president is going to provide you the best stimulus package that you've ever seen.
Oh, my God.
They call me President Stimmy in the hood. In the project.
Crazy. All right, y'all. Thank you. We see you next week. Y'all take care. Happy wrestling.
Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting.